Welcome to The Forum, the program that educates, motivates, and advocates on behalf of our listeners. The Forum is sponsored by PNC Bank, and we're very pleased to have in our studio the new principal of TreeWin K through 8, Jennifer Rowetter. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So glad to be here.
Welcome to Peoria.
Yay!
So tell us a little bit about Jennifer before we talk about your vision for TreeWin. Where do you come from?
All right. So I am from Chicago, Illinois. I was born and raised there. Lived there my entire life. My family is still there to this day. But I've been in education for a long time, a little over 20 years now. So I've been everything from a teacher to a counselor to a dean, assistant principal, and now a principal at TreeWin. So I stepped out on a leap of faith in November. I applied for an assistant principal job at Peoria High, and I got hired, and I moved my entire family here, and I love it. I'm here in Peoria. I'm learning so much. The people here are amazing. I'm getting a lot of new friends and learning a lot of new things, and it feels like home. It's like home for me. So.
Very good. From Chicago to Peoria. That sounds like me. You know, I'm from Chicago. I'm curious to find out what high school you went to.
Kenwood.
Kenwood. See, I went to CVS.
I live right around the corner from CVS. Hey. 87th.
I
was on 83rd. All right.
Cool. You know, we used to beat Kenwood.
Okay.
In basketball and football. Yeah, but that's a whole nother story.
That's okay.
Right. Okay. So now, when we talk about education these days, we can't not talk about COVID, the COVID year of 2020, and how that has impacted education. And it still is.
Yes.
In terms of wearing masks, taking precautions for staff and faculty. Talk to me about precautions that are taking place this fall as students come back.
Yes. So we want to ensure that every student is safe. Every staff member is safe. So we are doing universal masking in Peoria Public Schools. So everyone is going to wear a mask. We're not doing temperature checks and things like that, but we are doing testing for certain students, groups of students. We are still encouraging everyone to take precautions if they feel sick, stay home, don't come to school. But we are doing everything we can to ensure that social distancing is occurring in all the schools. The teachers are working really hard right now, getting their rooms prepared for that. Every administrator is working hard. But we really encourage everyone to keep those masks on and stay safe. And if they feel sick, stay home. We'll make sure that they get their education. We don't want anyone to lose out. We have a lot of different means. Now, we learned a lot during that COVID year to show that students can still learn even when they're at home.
How concerned are you about what was missed during the COVID year? I know a lot of educators and parents were worried that some kids may fall behind because you're looking at a computer screen. You're not there to really check and make sure what they're doing. They may have some distractions at home. The little ones, the K through third graders, they were really challenged because they don't know how to read yet. And so you had to go on the computer and follow these prompts. Yeah. So talk to me about the education gap and how you plan to make up for it.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to describe it. There is an education gap from COVID, right? But we had some teachers do some amazing things during that time. But there is no doubt about it that we have some work to do. You know, students really missed out on some skills and things that they needed to learn. So this year that's why I'm saying we've been preparing early. We're hitting the ground running. I have so many things in place to be implemented from day one. We have to start day one really identifying those students that need that help because, you know, as a parent myself and as an administrator, I saw so many skills that were lost and even my own children. So just knowing that and coming in really being committed and focused to really working with those students to recover those skills that they lost. You know, it's going to be some work, but we can do it.
Let's talk specifically about the education gap in four different areas: reading, writing, arithmetic, and then social-emotional. Okay. So from a reading standpoint, I know Dr. Karat has emphasized that parents should try to make sure their children read, what, 20 minutes a day?
At least 20 minutes. We like to see 30 minutes, but at least 20 minutes. I started a YouTube channel for my school where I'm going to read to the students every day just to even let them get that. So even if someone's at home isn't reading for them, sometimes people at home can't read either. So I decided to take on that initiative of reading for the students every day. So, but we really want them to get that reading in because they lost those skills. So we want them to really learn. That is how they learn how to read. We have to read to them. We have to keep putting it in them so they can learn it, right? They have to see it and hear it, and that's how they learn how to do those same things.
And we can talk about the flip side of that a little later in this program, which is social media. But when it comes to reading compared to being in front of a screen, studies have shown that reading challenges their imagination, helps the mind grow, as opposed to being in front of a screen, which kind of dulls your senses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we really want to encourage not using screen time all the time. You know, even with our teachers in the classroom, I've been in some school districts where they do use the computer all day in some of the lessons, but we want to use it as a strategy, you know, not as just all day as the only means of learning in the classroom. You know, technology is wonderful. They can do a lot of things with it. But we still need to have that old-fashioned education where they are really seeing those books, they are really learning, and they are really hearing things with the teacher in front of them or the parents in front of them.
Now, when I was in school, back when dinosaurs ruled the earth, the teacher, when you came in the fall, would make you write what you learned over the summer. And writing was so important. And man, I remember learning cursive writing, which some people say is a lost art now. So talk to me about the importance of writing.
Yes. I love writing. I'm a writer. And I even wrote a children's book. I love writing. So that's my thing. And I would say that writing is one of the most important skills that you can teach students. You really should work with your children on letting them write all the time.
And express
themselves. That's how you express yourself. That's how you dream. You build dreams. You build goals through writing. Writing is such a way to help students. I was a school counselor for a long time. I would let them write to express their emotions and their feelings. So many things come out in writing. And that's so important for people to keep writing, because you need to write to go to college, to get jobs, you know, to do applications, scholarships. So writing is an important skill that we have to do. And unfortunately, you know, like you said, we'll talk about it later with social media. People are into just short texting and, you know, those little code words. And, you know, they need to learn how to write and really write correctly and express themselves in a positive way.
And then math. This society is built on dollars. And so from teaching your child about how to make change to adding and subtracting, what can parents do to enhance that skill?
Yeah. Just practice. Math is one of those things that you have to practice and make it a life lesson. Make it about experiences. It doesn't have to be something that's difficult. Math is one of those subjects that you can stand in a room of 20 people, and I'm sure you'll find at least 10 people that say, oh, I don't like math, right? And because that's usually something that's challenging. But make it fun. That's something you make fun. Parents can practice with money, like you said, counting. Let's go to the store together. Let the kids count. Let's look at this math program together and let's learn about it, because even if the parents don't know that skill or they don't know how to do math that way, because math is different from, like, I'm like you with those dinosaurs. We do it different now, you know, but it's so many things out here to show you. And again, when school comes back in session, just ask the teachers. We understand, administrators, we understand if those are things that you don't know, and don't be embarrassed to ask, and we can help you, and we can help your student. We want everyone to be successful.
I had one teacher tell me that she encouraged parents to do math in the kitchen when they're measuring stuff, or if they go through the drive-thru. And of course, we prefer that you cook the meals at home, but if you got to go through the drive-thru, yep. and your meal costs $7 and 15 cents, and you give them $10, you can ask the child in the back seat, absolutely, how much change am I getting back?
Absolutely, yes. So those real life experiences are the best teaching experiences ever. You know, you can do that with algebra. You can do it with how fast you're going, with acceleration. If you have an older student that's learning how to drive, you know, you can teach them so many things. And that's what we have to learn how to do, is use those experiences to teach lessons. And that is the most important thing for me in education. I always express that to my teachers, to my students and parents. Use these life experiences. You don't have to have a lot. You don't have to know a lot. But use all these experiences to teach your children.
Last one, social-emotional. You're fortunate, in a sense, in that the school is right there at Tree Wynn, which is the location for the social-emotional learning component for the district in Derrick Booth.
Yes.
And so when we talk about students experiencing trauma, their families experiencing trauma, you know, in the 61605 zip code. Unfortunately, you know, we've had a number of traumatic experiences, gun violence, et cetera. And these are the children of those families that we see on the news. And talk to me about the importance of social-emotional health.
Yes, social-emotional health is the most important thing for students, children, as you know, because we often think of it. I hear people say all the time, children are resilient. They are, but they go through trauma as well. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that they have experiences, and those experiences impact them in a lot of different ways. It comes out in behavior. It comes out in academics. It comes out in their social experiences with others. So we have to really take charge on that aspect of education, you know? So we really have to, schools have to make that a priority. We have to make that one of the first things that we do, because if you're not feeling well social emotionally, then you won't be very successful, you know? As an adult, as a child, you won't be successful. It'll impact you. So you want to make sure we're addressing those needs so that we can help the child. That's it. We have to think of children holistically, you know, and that's a part of it. That social emotional component is so important. So this school year, that is one of my biggest priorities as well, you know, really focusing on using that in every class, not just the counselors in the school, you know, not just the therapist that's working in the school, but the teachers, the administrators, the lunchroom staff, the custodians. Everyone has to understand how we're helping those students social, emotionally as well.
All hands on deck.
All hands on.
Yeah. We want to remind our listeners, we're talking with the new principal of Tree Wynn K through 8. Help me with the last name, Jennifer
Rowetter.
Rowetter. Okay. All right. I'll get it right.
You got
it. I'll get it right. And we're talking about education. We have the school year that's coming up in just a few weeks. And she is at Tree Wynn, excited about the learning possibilities for our students. Let's continue this conversation about social emotional, because one of the things that I learned when I was subbing was that you get to learn about what's happening inside the child's home and find out how you can help the parent. So if I notice that at 8:30 in the morning when school is just starting, a kid has their head on the desk and is asleep, and then I do a little canvas around the room. What time did you go to sleep? 10:30, 11. I was up till 1. Then that's a signal to maybe contact that parent to say, hey, how can we help you make sure that kid gets to sleep on time?
Absolutely. It takes a village. That is so true. It takes a village, and it takes us to really ask those questions to help.
Sometimes those are hard questions.
And sometimes they are, but those hard questions, that's what's needed in this world. You know, I think we need to go away from being afraid to ask those difficult questions, because that's how we're going to help all of our students, right? Because we came from a very tough year. So we have to ask some hard questions. We learn some things about people and some of our students and where they live and their homes, because it was open to the entire world for, you know, 8 months or so. So just really asking those tough questions and not being afraid And like you said, really, when you ask the student, I want to also help that parent, you know, because maybe those parents need help too. And that's, I'm about, you know, really working with, partnering with the parents and the students and really trying to help them so that they can all be successful.
Yeah, I think the key word there is help, because you don't want the parent to feel like this is an attack on their household. Mm-hmm. If the child's not getting sleep, if the child's not getting a good meal, if the child is coming to school stinky, and has some hygiene problems, that you're saying, hey, I want to give you a toothbrush, or I want to show you how to brush your teeth, or I want to talk to you about clean clothes, or something like that. But you don't want the parent to decode that as you're trying to get in my business and you're criticizing how I'm bringing my child up. Expound on that.
Exactly. And I've seen that happen in some places before where parents might get a little offensive or feel like you're, like you said, trying to attack them. But that is not anyone is trying to do, you know. And it's about how you present it too. You don't want to present it in a way where it is offensive. You want to present it, I think the best way is being genuine. If you really are trying to help, the families are going to understand, and they'll feel that, and they'll receive that. So they'll feel, if you're being genuine about it, I want to help you if you need my help. And they might not. It could be they have 10 toothbrushes and the student just refuses to brush their teeth, you know. have that too. So, and that's okay. You know, when we want to help, I want to help you get your student to learn that skill as well, right? I want to be on your side. It's all about being on their side. And that's who I am. You know, I'm about working with my families. I'm on their side. We're a team. I'm not better than you. I'm not different from you. We're together. I want to help your student be successful. These students are me. That's what I say. I say that all the time. When I see all of these students, I treat them all like they were. You know, that's how I grew up. They're like my children, and I want to see them be successful. So that's how you come across to parents.
I'm curious to find out what your philosophy is on setting academic goals and reaching them, because the society sometimes can be unforgiving. I was watching the Olympics, and if you're the first person across the line, you're first person across the line. Mm-hmm. So you got 10 people lined up, race starts, first person across wins. Second place gets silver, third place gets bronze, everybody else, you don't get anything. All right. Now, you could be the fifth place person and you could say, well, you know, my bus broke down, or, you know, this happened, or you could have all kinds of legitimate excuses that the first place person doesn't have. But the bottom line is getting to that finish line. And I'm curious to find out what your thoughts are on equity and making sure that our kids have the resources and tools needed to compete in the world, because even though you may have legitimate excuses, legitimate things that are holding you back, society sometimes is unforgiving and says, you gotta show up.
Yes, absolutely. And equity is a big word that's out here, especially in the world of education, right? I'm working on my dissertation right now, and that's the big buzzword, right? Equity in education. Equity is not always about race. So this is my philosophy right here. I believe that students have circumstances, whether you're poor, whether your parents are rich, you have a circumstance, right? But your expectation for that student has to be bigger than their circumstance, right? I never want to hold my students back because I believe that their circumstance is going to keep them back. I'm going to encourage them because, like you said, there's a finish line. There is a big goal that we're trying to get them to. So I have a dream. I teach my students to dream big and have those dreams and have those goals. I have a goal for them, and I'm going to push them, and I'm going to push them as hard as I can. I'm going to give them the resources they need. I'm going to show them how to get there and be those great leaders in this world, and I'm going to push them beyond their experiences because life happens. Life does happen. It happens to everyone. But what we do when life happens shows more character than anything else.
So you want to take away the excuses, or try and take the excuses off the table. Yes. You won't be able to do it all.
You won't be able to do it all. No, but you won't be able to do it all. But I want your main focus to be on reaching your goals. Your main focus is on where do you want to be? Where do you want to get to, right? Because life is going to happen no matter what you choose. Life, you know, your financial situation. But what you dream and what you try to get to and those goals you try to reach, that's determined by how much perseverance you have in yourself.
All right, I'm going to do some personal disclosures, and don't make fun of me.
Okay, I won't make fun of you.
All right, but you know, growing up in Chicago, we rode the bus and the L, right? Mm-hmm. And so I didn't learn how to drive a car until, you know, I was an adult, all right? Okay. And I didn't learn how to ride a bicycle until I was an adult.
Okay.
I don't know how to swim. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But my grandson, I'm pushing him to learn how to swim. And I'm pushing him. He knows how to ride a bicycle. And my question is, what do you tell parents who may not have been successful themselves in school about the importance of exposing their kids to things that are outside of their world?
Yeah. You do just like what you did with your grandson, right? You know that your life was a certain way, and that's okay. You're not a bad person, right? You turned out okay. And you never discredit that. I don't discredit anything or any situation that someone is in. It's okay. That's life, and that's great. But you just keep having those same conversations and just showing them about, let's imagine what your child can be, you know, if they did this, if you gave them this experience, if you showed them this, if you showed them how to swim, if you let them play baseball, if you let them play soccer, like just
play
think
chess.
Of your chess, right? Exactly. If you just let them have those experiences. And this year at TreeWin, we are partnering with so many different people. They are really bringing a lot of different opportunities there. And I'm excited about it. We're getting a debate and speech and for our fourth and fifth graders, which is great. You know, so giving them those experiences that they probably wouldn't do. And it's no discredit to us, right? I don't know how to swim either. I really don't barely know how to ride a bike. But, you know, so, you know, I guess Chicago people, maybe we
right.
did, right? But,
right?
but, you know, but I want to give these experiences to my students. And it's okay if their parents didn't have those same experiences, because we're going to imagine what it would look like if they did. And that's what's important. Like, that's my goal.
Right. And so, and beyond the experiences, even academically, if you didn't graduate from high school,
yes.
if you didn't have a successful experience with teachers, I mean, you may have a certain opinion about teachers and principals, because the principals and teachers in your day might have been mean or inconsiderate
yes.
or whatever. And so when you talk to a parent, they may have be feeling a certain way about you and the staff based on their experiences. So part of what I hear you saying is that you kind of want them to give you the benefit of the doubt?
Yes. Give me the benefit of the doubt. And because I think that's one thing that we all have to learn how to do as well, is just giving people the benefit of the doubt. We all, sometimes we have prejudgments. We've seen that a lot in the last year too, right? Just how race and these inequities and, you know, implicit and biases that people have, right? So just really trying to knock down those barriers. Give me the benefit of the doubt, right? This is new. This is something new. And I always tell, I'm lucky where I am, because I get to say, hey, I'm new. Let me show you something, right? Let me show you who I am and what I want to do. I'm here to support you. I'm here to partner with you. I want to help your child just as much as you do. And sometimes it just takes anyone that you meet, any adult, it doesn't even have to be the principal, anyone just saying that I'm here to support you. And that's what people need sometimes. You know, I have a real quick story. I had a parent who was really upset one day, and she just was yelling and screaming and everything. And I just went to her and said, Mom, do you need a hug? Can I touch you and hug you? And she hugged me. She cried. And we were like, I was her best friend after that. And sometimes that's all it takes, right? Just
right.
someone to reach out.
Hey, we're running out of time.
Okay.
I've been asking you a lot of questions.
Yes.
anything that you wanted to impart that we didn't talk about?
I do. I have one quick thing. Like you said, COVID year set us back a lot. We are doing a big push in Peoria Public Schools to get our students back in school. Right now, I am looking for all of my kindergarten students to enroll in school. If you know someone that is supposed to be a Tree One kindergarten student, please tell them to go and register. We have an incentive going right now. We are giving away gift cards, gas gift cards, if they enroll by August 17th. We're really trying to push, get those parents to come out there. I know a lot of people are still a little concerned. If they missed the beginning of the interview, we are putting those measures in place. Bring your student to school. That is where they will learn the skills they need, especially at those young ages. We really want them to be there. So we need to find those kindergarten students. I'm doing a parade going through the community. I got a playlist of, hip-hop and Coco Melon and everything. We got balloons. We're going to honk the horns. If they come out, we got treats to give the students. And if they come, they'll be entered into a raffle. If they come on the first day on time, 8:20 a.m., we are going to have an amazing year. I'm so excited to be here in Peoria. I'm here. Tree One was already an amazing school, but we're going to be amazing. So I'm looking forward to it. We're all about winning this year. That's my theme.
All right. The new principal for Tree One K through 8, J-Row.
That's right. J-Row. I like that.
Jennifer Rowetta.
Yes. Right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to The Forum on WPNV. The Forum is sponsored by PNC Bank. The Forum airs at 10 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. Sunday. We want to leave you with a quote from novelist Alice Walker, who said, "One way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any." Thanks for listening.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead.